University 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlantic Canada, across Canada, and around the world. This episode is An Evening with Dave Carroll. Dave has been playing most of his life with Sons of Maxwell, then as a solo artist, and had great success with United Breaks Guitars. And he's also an author of children's books, and he's been touring the world as a public speaker. Here he is, Dave Carroll. You're here at the Carlton,
yep.
And we've got a sell-out crowd, which is nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. This is the best listening room in Halifax, probably.
Yep.
And that's what I'm doing tonight. It's all the songs I'd like people to listen to, so this is great.
Good. And you've got a new album on deck.
So it's called Until One Day, and it was released during the pandemic, so I think it's probably been 2 years, but it feels like yesterday.
Right. And you've been writing a bit lately, I know. I've kind of caught wind of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Is your style changing? How do you feel about that?
I don't really consciously try and zero in on a direction. I go wherever it takes me. Okay. So sometimes they're silly, and sometimes they're super serious, and sometimes they matter a lot to somebody else when I write songs for other people.
Right.
And I just try and bring my A game to whatever project I'm on and try to serve the song.
Nice. Good. So when you start writing, whether it's a commission or not, do you kind of have a pattern to how you develop it? Is it music? Is it lyrics? How do you start at that end?
I'm always a music first guy. Yeah. I don't know what you do, but for me, it's basically, I think Paul McCartney did that. The music was set in stone almost, and then he would just sort of utter the famous Yesterday thing, right?
Yeah, scrambled eggshells and whatever.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I do. If you heard me writing a song, it would sound like gibberish probably, but the music was very much set in stone in a sense.
Right.
I'm open to changing it, but that's where I start.
Right.
Get
good.
A groove and get a feel. So everybody have a good hurricane? Yeah. My power came on around 1 o'clock today. I was prepared to play dirty tonight. I was thinking that maybe all these years ironing a shirt and brushing my teeth was holding me back from being successful. I was going to let her rip tonight. And then I thought, now I must use my powers on. I'll iron my shirt. So I got my good shirt on. Are you ready? Are you ready?
It in your skin. The train has left the station and it's time to sink or swim. Are you ready? It's time to earn the pennies from those who pay for thoughts. That's the way it rolls. 'Cause yesterday is over and the road to here was rough, and you're finally in the moment and you've waited long enough. Started cooking and the table has been set. Are you ready? It's time to earn the pennies from those who pay for thoughts. That's the way it rolls. 'Cause yesterday is over and the road to here was rough, and you're finally in the moment and you've waited long enough. you second guess yourself. Say na 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 na, I am ready to begin. Na 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 na.
This is a song that I wrote during the pandemic, right in the very beginning of it all, when Italy had been shut down and we couldn't believe that was happening, and then they started shutting things down here. We'll just wait for you to get that. Just kidding. And so the pandemic's happening, the lockdowns are happening, and like songwriters normally do, we write songs about stuff. And so I came up with this title called When the World Stops Ending. And I thought it sounded like a good thing, so I called my friend Jamie Robinson. He lives down the street from me in Waverly. And because it was a lockdown, we couldn't get together to write it, so we had to do it over Zoom. So I'd never written a song over Zoom before, but we did it quickly, maybe a couple of one-hour sessions, and it really came together. And we were happy with it, and so he recorded his parts at his place. I recorded mine at mine. And then we sent it to Dave Gunning in Pictou, and he mixed it. No one was ever in the same room together. And then we decided we wanted to do a video for it. So during the lockdown, I thought it would be cool to go to the Neptune Theater. And I called and they said, if you don't have anyone with you, just like a couple people in the group and no other people in the audience, I said, that's exactly what I want. I want to be on stage playing to an empty theater to really drive home this starkness of the pandemic. And so we got there, and my friend Steve Richard was there, and Jamie, and we shot this thing in a couple of hours to the empty theater, and I watched the video, and the first thing I thought is, this reminds me a lot of my earlier gigs. But we came up with this, and this the message in the song, I guess, is that coming out of this, you could be a fearful, or you could try to be kinder and love people better than you ever did before, and that's the message of this song.
Ending, and we catch our breath. Will we know ourselves better at all? What will life look like, and what will be left? Will we have the same problems to solve? When the world stops ending and we're back on our feet, what will we do with our time? Will we place our importance on the bitter or sweet? Or leave what is best left behind? From here to Manhattan, I hope that it happens. We love so much better than ever before. We measure and help one another without keeping score. When the world stops ending once more, when the world stops ending and we hit restart, what will be first on our list? Will we fill every hour from daylight to dark to make up for all that we missed? Will a new light erase? Will our fear be replaced when the world stops ending? Yeah. We love so much better than ever before. We find buried treasure in the moments we measure and help one another without keeping score. When the world stops ending from here to Manhattan, I hope that it happens. We love so much better than ever and never before, and find buried treasure in the moments we measure and help one another without keeping score. When the world stops ending and we catch our breath, will we know ourselves better at all?
So, how many people here have seen Outlander? Yeah. Are there any guys that have seen Outlander here? Because I think it's mostly women, right? So that one of the stops in on this Scottish trip will be to where they shot some of the things from Outlander. And so, of course, if you've seen Outlander, you know the guy's name is?
Jamie.
Jamie's the guy from, like, 1650 he's the guy that no man can come close to. He's the man that every man wants to be but can never be. And that's my wife's favorite show. Jill loves Outlander. So we were watching an episode of Outlander on a school night one time, and the kids are asleep. We watch the episode, we go to bed, and I jump in first, and I'm just sitting there, and then all of a sudden I started thinking, how are you doing? Just feeling a little frisky. And so she's getting ready for bed, but I realized that I just watched an episode of Outlander with her. She wasn't going to be interested in me at all. So I had to draw her in, right? I had to channel my best Jamie, and I said, ooh, look at you with your smooth legs and other beauty. It affected her. But the minute I said it, I said, that's a good song title. I said, I'll be right back. And I got up and I wrote this song. She was a runaway, running my way. You'd think she already knew me. I didn't have a plan. She could have run to a better man, but like a freight train, she roared into me with her smooth legs and other beauty. The days when we were just beginning. Lying in bed together, I felt like living. And I held her so close, and she drew me absolutely to her smooth legs. Smooth legs and other beauty. Now the years roll and the space grows. Her kids, careers and life's duties. But my memory's long, and there's moments when I'm gone. To a time that woman first moved me with her smooth legs and other beauty. And I miss the days when we would just beginning. Lying in bed together felt like living, and I held her so close, and she drew me absolutely to her smooth legs and other beauty. Sometimes when life gets in the way, you can't even scrounge one lazy day
for tousled hair and letting down our guard, all coiled into each other, sharing secrets of the heart. And I miss the day when we were just beginning, lying in bed together felt like living. And I held her so close and she drew me absolutely to her smooth legs, smooth legs in other beauty. Smooth legs in other beauty.
I also know that you're creative in a lot of other ways, and I read through your Tom the Tomato Plant, yes, and I love that. It was great to see that take off for you. I mean, how's that doing for you at the writing end?
Really well. It didn't start off with an idea of that I will now be a children's author. I wrote the story for my sons.
Right.
And it turned into, I shared the story with a friend who'd written kids' books, and he said, you got to write a kid's book about this. And he sort of pushed me, and Paul Tefanello was his name, and he really encouraged me to see it through. So the book sort of just became a thing.
Took off on its own.
And now I really enjoy complimenting what I do, like a shows like this, with right, school shows.
Right.
So I'll go in and I'll talk to kids and share music with them, and it's not, yeah, that different than this show. That's the funny thing.
Right. Yeah, it's still the entertainment and delivering messages and stories and
the songs are the same. I'll be singing the theme song of Tom the Tomato Plant tonight. But I sing it to the kids and I tell them about United Brace Guitars.
Right.
I once did a speaking gig to the board of directors of a major cruise line. So big, successful business people in the
right
room, right? And I gave them my presentation, and 2 days later, I was at Park Street School in Fredericton, and I gave the exact same presentation
and
to the kids.
You get a standing O wherever you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really cool. I mean, that's a good thing about a good delivery and a good song and a good message.
I think it has to do with the universal truths. So rather than at a board meeting, I'm not going to be the smartest guy in the room telling them how to run their business, but I can speak about universal truths that can resonate with them.
Right.
And kids, their brains aren't even fully developed. They don't understand highbrow things, but neither do I. So it's convenient.
You don't.
So I speak from the heart, and it lands the same way whether you're 4 or 84.
Right. You're listening to Dave Carroll live at the Carlton here in Halifax. And we recorded the whole night, and he is a great entertainer, and there's lots of introductions and more stories and more songs. Just dive into our podcast, Songwriters from Here and Away, on any podcasting platform or on Podbean, and you'll hear the whole show. It's about an hour and a half.
Another United Brace Guitars ripple was I was speaking at an event in Clearwater, Florida a few years back, and a woman came up. It was the gig was for a bunch, 500 fire chiefs, I think, and I had been a volunteer firefighter, so there was that connection. And this little woman about that tall, her name is Vicky Pritchett from South Carolina. She came up and said, "Dave Carroll, you got to write a song for the National Fallen Firefighters of America." And she was one of these people you don't say no to. So I said, "Okay, I'll try it." Anyway, here's the song. It's called "The Fallen and the Brave." There's a saying in our firehouse that everyone goes home. And we know the perils in our job every time we hear the tone. And on this day we fought a blaze. We did our job, 4 lives were saved. But in the end I sacrificed my own. I hear in the distance, pipers playing the song for me, where flags are folded in our memory. I'm going home to Emmitsburg. They'll call my name in Emmitsburg, where
tears are shed and prayers are heard for the fallen and the brave. There is peace among the embers, a lightness in the air. As I float above the members of my station in despair. Smoke, we face our fears, the lives we save to souvenirs. I go without regret as I declare. I hear bells in the distance, pipers playing a song for me, where flags are folded in our memory. To Emmitsburg, they'll call my name in Emmitsburg, where tears are shed and prayers are heard for the fallen and the brave. And the families that we leave behind will gather where I'll be enshrined, along with all the others, and they'll see we're not alone. Carved in the monument, say it loud and confident, we'll never be forgotten, and we've made it safely home. I hear bells in the distance, pipers playing a song for me, where flags are folded to Emmitsburg. They'll call my name in Emmitsburg, where tears are shed and prayers are heard for the fallen and the brave. And where tears are shed and prayers are heard for the fallen and the brave.
So I had a chance to go to Nashville a few times and write with other songwriters. And, of course, Nashville has some of the best songwriters in the world. And my very first co-writing appointment was with a guy named John Vesner. And he's married to Kathy Mattea, and he had a Grammy and everything. And so that was a pretty cool experience. And we wrote a pretty good song and put it on the Sons of Maxwell record. And I guess he was happy enough that when I came back another time, I asked him to write. He said, sure. So we got together and we were writing a song about just places that we'd been to in the world. And we came to the idea that maybe home isn't where, home is where your heart is at, not necessarily where you hang your hat at the moment. And so we came up with a song called The Place That I Call Home. Veil upon the Cabot Trail on Cape Breton's northern shore. From those cliffs, it feels as if you're looking down through heaven's floor. There's a spot where you can walk near the top of Sulphur Mountain, where the bighorn sheep high above Banff streets leaves your heart full as a fountain. But of all those places, those high up spaces, wherever I may roam, have I failed? Grounded, so surrounded by a love I
the place that I call home. And I've seen firsthand the Canyon Grand in the state of Arizona. Like God's perfume, the cactus bloom from Tucson to Sedona. Fields of wheat in the summer heat that reach across Nebraska. The Northern Lights finale above the Matanuska Valley that light up all Alaska. But of all those places, those wide open spaces, from Austin clear to no home, have I felt so lifted, so deeply gifted, in a way I have never known. Like the place that I call home. It doesn't matter where it is, from sea to shining sea, it's anywhere that my heart lives. That's where home is to me. And of all those places, either small or spacious, from Calcutta to Cologne, am I at my best, where my soul rest, for I never walk alone. Or have I felt God's grace ever bless a place in a way I have never known home? Like the place that I call home, in the place that
I must say, I've followed your career before we moved here with United Breaks Guitars, I guess. And what was that, 12 years ago now?
Yeah, 2009. That's 14 years.
14 years ago.
Yeah.
And then moved out here and met you along the way, and have been really happy to see and impressed with your resilience, and parlaying it now into the public speaking and almost consulting, like, what's the status of it for you now?
I'm still active in it, and yeah. I don't just do one thing. When United Breaks Guitars came out, the disappointing thing was that a lot of people in the music industry assumed, because I'd started speaking, that I wasn't a musician anymore.
Right.
And I said, why would you say that? And they said, well, because you're speaking. But I'm just Dave Carroll. I'm a storyteller. I had to think right. about what I was, and ultimately I'm a storyteller. It's maybe a bad metaphor, but it's like smoking. You can get your nicotine through chewing tobacco or a pipe or a cigarette. It's just a delivery device changes, but the ultimate thing is I'm a storyteller.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And may you have better effects than the nicotine.
Yeah. I hope my music doesn't cause cancer. I don't know. So I do a lot of traveling. I've flown a lot in the last 10 or 12 years. And because of the United Breaks Guitars, I ended up starting speaking. So I would travel around to conferences and tell the United Breaks Guitars story and get paid to tell people just to be nice to each other. And I discovered there's a whole segment of a culture in the speaking culture. Speakers are like musicians, just different. And it's amazing that I come from the music background, so I approached gigs like a musician. And if I was going to a town to do a one-hour talk, and it was a beautiful spot. I might bring a bigger suitcase to pack hiking boots if it's near the mountains or something like that. It would stay a little extra. But a lot of speakers tend to just try to get there and leave as soon as they possibly can to go to the next place. So they never pack a suitcase. I get a lot of grief from my speaker friends who say, you're packing a giant suitcase. What are you doing with that? And I say, you don't even have enough underwear for this trip. What are you doing with no suitcase? And it bothered me so much that I wrote a song about it called The Medium Suitcase. It's the middle ground. I'm all about the middle ground, right? So I need you to help me with this one. And I'm going to sing them. Covered by my medium suitcase. So this chord here, it's got that train sound, right? It's got that, sounds like a train, and I'm trudging along. So when I get to the end of the chorus on that, I'm going to say, covered by my medium. I want you to sing the word suitcase with me, but I want you to do this. Right? So do that. Look at the person beside you and make that surprise face like this. One, two, three, go. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know why this makes me feel so good on the inside when I do it, but I think it'll happen to you too if you do it. You're flying on a business trip. For 5 days, you'll be overseas. An airline lost your suitcase once and you despise their baggage fees. You're confident, your tiny bag, your cabin-friendly carry-on can do the job and save the day, but don't be foolish, you are wrong. You need a medium suitcase, not one that's too big or too darn small. You can't leave home and bring it all, and so I travel light but used to overpack. I'm a man who likes an option when I get to where I'm at. If I accidentally stain my shirt or want my dressy slacks, I'm covered by my medium suitcase. I used to pack most everything, tools, clothes, the kitchen sink, and who leaves home without their ukulele? My bag was huge and overweight. I'd never use them roller skates, but had them just in case. Who could blame me? Then it finally occurred to me that hotels had their own TVs, and I should scale back ASAP and stop acting so darn crazy and check a smaller bag. So to make my travels easy, easy on yourself, get a medium suitcase, not one that's too big or too darn small. You can leave home and bring it all, and so I travel light but used to overpack. I'm a man who likes an option when I get to where I'm at. If I accidentally stain my shirt or want my dressy slacks, I'm covered by my medium suitcase. It's not that I love luggage belts. It's just that I have always felt that people who don't check a bag are crazy. They think they got it figured out. We'll turn their undies inside out as though they're clean and act as fresh as daisies. But they're lying to themselves and they're often prone to smell by day three of a four-day spell, so maybe they should stop acting so darn lazy and check a bigger bag so as not to be so gamey. No one likes to stink. Get a medium suitcase, not one that's too big or too darn small. You can't leave home and bring it all, and so I travel light but used to overpack. I'm a man who likes an option when I get to where I'm at. If I accidentally stain my shirt or want my dressy slacks, I'm covered by my absolutely perfect little travel body, covered by my medium suitcase.
Have you been doing any band work lately? Or I saw
awesome.
Sons of Maxwell doing a gig or two. So
yeah. So Sons of Maxwell, actually, during the COVID, we didn't do anything. My brother's a full-time firefighter.
Right.
And so we just didn't play. And but we are playing again. We're booked to play with the Timmins Symphony Orchestra in April.
Oh,
so
good.
We're going back, and we've played with them before. That's where we're from. And we're going to play a full show of songs that were arranged for symphony.
Nice.
And That was one of the smart things we did years ago. We got some grant money and we said, let's turn some of these songs into charted symphonic arrangements. So when you have those, you can go and talk to a symphony, and that's a big stumbling block for a lot of people. It's like, I got the charts.
Well, and you know, that's great, because having that material kind of ready to go, and when you get on stage, having the power of a symphony. I mean, I've had horn sections and I've had 25, 30 choir singing behind our songs, but having a symphony must just blow your mind when you're up there.
I found we did it with the Symphony Nova Scotia
right
before, and that was a little intimidating almost, because I got to read music really, and that's exactly what they do. They don't vamp out, and so it's two worlds coming together, and you're kind of on their turf, and if you miss a lyric or you miss it, there's no going around.
You can't go to Jamie over on the guitar and say take another eight, buddy.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're gone, right?
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. To have that kind of power and hear your music coming through, it lifts you to an unbelievable level. It's nothing like it.
I'm envious, for sure. That's great that you're doing another one. You're listening to Songwriters from Here and Away and An Evening with Dave Carroll. Please look him up and download his music, stream it, whatever you have to do. You can also buy his book from DaveCarrollMusic.com. We hope that you will support the artists, support our channels, and give us a like, give us a follow, give us a share, tell your friends. The artists appreciate it, and so do we. Now, back to a bit of an interview and more music with Dave. So, where did you start? Did you start playing guitar or piano when you were a kid?
As a kid, we give the credit to our dad, actually, to get us started. So we call ourselves Sons of Maxwell because our dad is Max.
Oh, okay.
And gotcha. And our dad used to come in when Don and I shared a room. He would come in with his guitar, and he didn't know all the chords to all the songs and didn't know all the words. But his policy was, if you don't know the words, you play louder, and if you don't know the music, sing louder. But don't let that get in the way of having a good time. So we would sing for, you know, quite a while. We'd be going to bed at a respectable time, and we'd go to sleep at an irrespectable time, right?
Okay.
Because we'd stay so long. And, so we learned to love music for the fun of it from our dad, and then I played a little piano for grade 4 or 5, and then I didn't really play anything until band, maybe grade 7 and 8, but then I didn't touch anything until university, and I picked up a guitar and just wanted to play. And it was before the internet, and so I had to teach myself how to play guitar and get found a chord book, and that's how I got into it. And Don and I ended up going to Carleton University, and while I was there, I bought my guitar. We entered a talent contest,
right?
And we had to learn 6 songs, and we didn't really know them that well, but we tied for first place.
Oh, great.
In this thing, and so we got to come back and we played that first night, and I was hooked. Never looked back.
You bit the bait, and off you go.
Gotcha. They gave us money for this, I said.
Yeah.
Real money.
We can do this and have fun and get paid. Yeah.
So one of the things I did in the pandemic was I wrote a book called Tom the Tomato Plant. And so I have 2 sons, Flynn and Fisher, and they're 14 and 11 now. And I actually wrote this story probably before the pandemic, but finished it off and turned it into a book. And so we would often lie together in bed and we'd riff stories. They could sometimes come up with the conditions. It'd be like, they call my mom Nan. So it'd be sometimes Nan has to wear a jetpack. She needs to go to the moon and that sort of thing. And then I would just come up with a story. And so on this one day, I'm lying in bed with Fisher, my youngest, and he's a little bit upset going to bed. And it turns out that he was at church with my dad. My mom and dad are here, by the way. And... And so they were, Fisher was at church with my dad, and he's coming home, and I guess it was wintertime, and my dad's probably focused on driving like he should be, but Fisher said, "What's that over there?" And he pointed to the cemetery. And my dad said, "Well, that's where you go when you die." And that was his complete death and dying talk. Yeah. Right? So I'm lying in bed with Fisher, and he's like, "Dad, I don't want to be in a box under the snow for all eternity when I die." And so I came up with this story about the story arc of a tomato plant named Tom, who's smaller than all the rest when he's going to the farmer's market. And they put them on the farmer's market table, which is the vegetarian in the book. And he gets left behind because he's smaller than all the rest and nobody wants him. And he knows eventually that he's never going to get a forever home. So he's forlorn and dejected and sitting there on this empty table until one day... A family come along, and there's a little girl and her brother and the mom and dad, And no one else was ever noticing Tom, but this little girl somehow noticed him. And she looked at him and she said, "Mommy, why is that tomato plant all by itself?" And so she persuaded them. She didn't have any control over the family. She didn't have the money. She didn't get to call the shots. But because she noticed, she persuaded everybody to take an interest. And so they all come over and they take a look at Tom and they decide they can give him a forever home. And that's exactly what they do. And they bring him back and they put him on the deck in the most sunny spot. And they give him just the right amount of water every day to the point that he grows four giant tomatoes for each of the four members of the family. And they get to pick them and show their gratitude and say, "Thank you, Tom," before he realizes at the end, he's watching the family enjoy them, that his vines are starting to wither. He never noticed because he was so excited by what he was doing for the family. And it starts to snow. And the snow's cold, but he's warm on the inside, and he starts to remember what he was before, a tomato plant. And it feels good. And he closes his eyes and he lets sleep come. And that's Tom. So you can buy the book. I guess I just told you the whole story. But there are copies there. And it comes, every book comes with a bookmark that has on the back of it some tomato seed paper that you can plant and grow and nurture your own tomatoes, just like Tom is nurtured in the book. So I had written this song before I wrote the book. It wasn't written as a theme song for Tom, but it sort of fits so perfectly that that's what I used it for. And it's called The Giant. And yeah, so the premise, I guess, I became a dad a little bit older, and both Jill and I guess we figured the greatest gift you could give your kids would be to make sure they were loved unconditionally, so that no matter where they go, in any room they're at, they know that there's two people at least, their mom and dad, that love them. And then I realized that if things go as they should go, there'll be a point where we won't be there. And I didn't like the idea of my kids ever being in a room where they didn't have anyone that loved them, potentially. And so I decided maybe the best gift a father could give to his sons or daughters would maybe be to ensure that they love themselves. Because if you could do that, then there's always somebody on your side. And so that's what this song is about. If you're lucky enough, you eventually realize there's a giant inside of you. And if you're luckier still, you get to realize that you get to know that giant. And that's pretty awesome. But the best part is when you get to realize that you are and always were the giant. And that's probably where you're fully actualized. So that's what this song is about. And it's called The Giant. Nothing you could do, there's nothing you could say to cause the love I have for you to shrink or fade away. There's nothing about you I would change, but one thing I regret is that you don't recognize the giant I see as of yet. But I'm gonna work on you. Yes, I'm gonna work so hard on you. One day you will realize the impact that you made when you look behind and see the giant footprints that remain. And you love the one you've always been without being afraid. And I'll know my work is through when you see the giant in you. There's nothing more I want of you, but one thing that I fear is that you may never love the face that looks back in the mirror. And I know that my words are weak, but this is where we start, and they'll take on new meaning when you know them in your heart. 'Cause I'm gonna work on you. Yes, I'm gonna work so hard, so hard on you. One day you will realize the impact that you made when you look behind and see the giant footprints that remain. And you love the one you've always been without being afraid. And I'll know my work is through when you
giant in you. There's nothing you could do, there's nothing you could say, to cause the love I have for you to shrink or fade away. 'Cause I'm gonna work on you. Yes, I'm gonna work so hard. And one day soon, you'll know the giant is you.
So today, are you in going into the studio anytime soon for more recording? Or?
Well, I have a studio in my home, so that's the beauty of getting my ideas down. I never really record full tracks in my place. I do the things I do at my place, and then maybe Jamie Robinson or Chris Cianetti or Scott Ferguson. Lots of work with those guys.
Yeah.
So I'm always writing. But I don't really have an idea of what I would do for another record right now, and I'm not even sure that I'm going to put out another record.
Right,
because the way the music gets consumed right now is in bundles of 12, right?
Yeah,
so
I
think, yeah.
So in the studio, you're sitting there, you've crafted your song on guitar and voice, and you sit down with your DAW, your digital audio workstation, mm-hmm. your software, mm-hmm. and you plunk in a time signature, a tempo, and you do guitar and voice, or do you lay down drums, fake drum tracks or any of that, or you just do guitar and voice and send that off?
I actually use my iPhone to get my ideas down, just the voice notes.
Yeah.
And if that passes the test and I get to a point that I think that's worth laying down, I'll then pull out the gear and get something with a little reverb on it and test that out. And then if it gets passes that test, then I'll get serious and put a click down and
do the whole thing and then send off. Start getting some of the other pros on the other instruments to do their masterpiece. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Well, I hope more singles come up.
I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, somebody said, you're not a musician anymore, and there'll never be a time where I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
I'll always be writing, and I'll be doing something. And
you retire when you hit the grave.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out the podcast version of this broadcast, because it has five or six other tunes on it and some more chatter. I think you'll really enjoy the show. Please go check it out.
This is called Mile a Minute.
I would ask that you forgive me, for I'm not myself today. The lady I'm in love with said she feels the same way. And ever since then I've been hovering 10 feet in the air, and I haven't quite come down yet. You should see the view from here. My heart goes a mile a minute when I kiss her, and I know let her go. And if I die tomorrow, years before my time, I'd leave happy knowing she'd been mine. Now all the girls before her are just fading memories, and I'm altogether different from the man I used to be. There are things that I know I will never understand, but if our lives are like a puzzle, she completes the man I am. And my heart goes a mile a minute when I kiss her, and I know that I love her, and I'll never let her go. And if I die tomorrow, years before my time, I leave happy knowing she'd been mine. in love with said she feels the same way. Ever since then I've been hovering 10 feet in the air, and I haven't quite come down yet. You should see the view from here. My heart goes a mile a minute when I kiss her, and I know that I love her and I'll never let her go. And if I die tomorrow, years before my time, I'd leave happy knowing she'd been mine. I'd leave happy knowing she'd been mine.
Thank you. This next one is his big hit that made Dave a different man, I'm sure, United Breaks Guitars.
I believe in sort of sharing good news as it comes along, so this may not happen, but I was in Israel doing a speaking gig last March, and I got a random email from a company in Los Angeles, and they want to do a 90-minute documentary on United Breaks Guitars. And so they're going to pitch it to Netflix and HBO and Amazon, I guess, this fall. And it may never happen, but it's been pretty cool so far. You never know. So this is the song that's taken me places. I'm very grateful for it. So we'll take a break and come back again.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska. The plane departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago. While on the ground, a passenger said from the seat behind me, "My God, they're throwing guitars out there." The band and I exchanged a look, best described as terror, at the action on the tarmac and knowing whose projectiles these would be. So before I left Chicago, I alerted 3 employees who showed complete indifference towards me.
Here we go.
United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. Just dead. I should have flown with someone else or gone by car.
Sing it if you know it.
'Cause United breaks guitars. When we landed in Nebraska, I confirmed what I suspected. Mike Taylor had been the victim of a vicious act of malice at O'Hare. So began a year-long saga. Up past the buck, don't ask me, and I'm sorry, sir, your claim to go nowhere. So do all the airlines people, from New York to New Delhi, including kind Miss Earlwig, who says the final word from them is no. I've heard all your excuses, and I've chased your wild gooses. Attitude of yours, I say, must go.
Here we go.
United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United, United, some big hill you are. You broke it, you should fix it. You're liable, just admit it. I should have flown with someone else or gone by car.
Sing it!
'Cause you...
So, that's about 3 minutes long. A single is normally like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. That's a good length. So I probably should have stopped right about there. But then I thought, United would probably want me to stop the song right about there. So I said, fuck it.
Though I won't say that I'll never fly with you again, because maybe to save the world I probably would, but that won't likely happen. And if it did, I wouldn't bring my luggage, because you just go and break it in 2,000 pieces, just like you broke my heart. When United breaks its heart.
Let's bring it home nice and safely, everybody.
And United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United, United, some big hill you are. You broke it, you should fix it. Your life will just end. I should have flown with someone else and gone by car. Cause United breaks guitars. Yeah, United breaks guitars.
One more!
Cause United breaks guitars.
Right back.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
CFRC 101.9 FM's funding drive is now underway. Join us this fall for great events, including our fun and game nights at Minotaur Games and Gifts downtown Kingston on November 13th. Bring your pals and play cards and board games with CFRC volunteers for free. Door prizes are available for $10 ticket donations, available now via CFRC.ca. The fun starts at 7 p.m. Join us at Minotaur for CFRC Fun and Games November 13th. See you there.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
As the cooler weather